Appreciate you sharing with us this morning. Our sermon today is a prelude to what we heard from June reading as the elder. It's Exodus chapter 31, verses 1 through 11. The Lord spoke to Moses, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with divine spirit, with ability, intelligence, and knowledge in every kind of craft, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood in every kind of craft. Moreover, I have appointed with him Aholiab, son of Ahizamak, of the tribe of Dan, and I have given skill to all the skillful, so that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tent of meeting, and the ark of the covenant, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furnishings of the tent, the table and its utensils, and the pure lampstand with all its utensils, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the basin with its stand, and the finely worked vestments, the holy vestments for the priest Aaron, and the vestments of his sons for their servants as priests, and the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense for the holy place. They shall do just as I have commanded you." Creative and creating God, invite us into your presence this day. We've made a good start in our Bible A to Z series, all thanks and glory to the inspiring Holy Spirit. I trust her to show me who or what should be the focus for each letter. Maybe B should be for the begats. Did you ever get bogged down by the begats? These ancient lineage records are important, of course, or they wouldn't have been included in the Bible. But honestly, don't you just read them kind of cross-eyed so you can get through them and move on to the good stuff? I know I've done that. Even an exciting scripture like Exodus, with its stories of plagues and escape and mountains on fire and God writing the Ten Commandments on the tablets, even sometimes then you slide on by things that seem inconsequential to get to the good stuff. But when you slow down and linger over the minor details, you often find something or someone amazing you may have never noticed before. Take Bezalel. We should really stop and pay attention when we see that God called him by name to undertake this great task of doing the work of making the tabernacle and all its furnishings. It's kind of thrilling to think God saw Bezalel, recognized his talents, and chose him to do something special. As we heard in June's scripture reading, Bezalel was busy as a bee. In addition to the ark, the mercy seat, and the cherubim, he also made the table of acacia wood that was in the tabernacle. He made the vessels of pure gold that were to be on the table, the plates and dishes for the incense, and the bowls and goblets for the drink offerings. He made the lampstand of pure gold. He made its seven lamps and its snuffers and its trays of pure gold. He made the altar of incense. He made the holy anointing oil. He made the altar of burnt offering. He made all the utensils for the altar, the pots, the shovels, the basins, the forks, and the fire pans. He made all of these of bronze. He made the bronze basin with its bronze stand. He made the court of the tabernacle, the curtains, the hooks, the bases, and all. He made the screen for the entrance to the court. It was embroidered with needlework in blue, purple, and crimson yarns and fine twisted linen. He made the vestments for the priests. Bezalel was busy. The story of Bezalel is not presented here to make you feel bad. It's not here for you to compare yourself to him and lament, "No, I'm not talented like Bezalel. I couldn't make all that stuff. I don't have a creative bone in my body." The story of Bezalel is designed to do two things. One, it's to make us feel grateful for such a talented artist who made such beautiful things for God's tabernacle, and to be grateful for the people who designed and built beautiful places of worship like Notre Dame in Paris and the Sistine Chapel in Rome and our very own church here in Rio Doce. Two, Bezalel's story is here to spark you to think, what can I do for God? Just as God looked upon Bezalel and recognized and enhanced his talent by imparting to him divine spirit, ability, intelligence, and knowledge, God can do the same for you. Perhaps when Bezalel started to work, some people were envious, people who pouted and said, "How come God chose him and not me?" What we are called to do is to admire and acknowledge and affirm the skills of others. And then, instead of getting all huffy and puffy, we should be pondering, what is it that God would have me do? What are the unique gifts and graces God has given me? True, not all of us are painters or jewelry makers or stone cutters or metal workers or embroiderers, but I firmly believe we all have a talent, a God-given talent that can be used to bring honor and glory to God. It may be an artistic bent, including singing and playing a musical instrument, but skills such as gardening and greeting or reading or cooking or even cleaning or sending encouraging cards can be ways to honor God. God needs all our multiple talents, the specific ones he assigned especially to each one of us, to make a whole complete story of his glory. There is a part and a place for you, believe it, because without you and your contribution and your craft and your input, the wonderful tapestry of God's love is incomplete and lacking. God wants you to contribute just as Bezalel did. God wants you to be like Bezalel, but in your own unique way. How best to be like Bezalel? One of his outstanding attributes is obedience. He listened to God and followed God's instructions and the designs God gave him through Moses. The directions for all the work came direct from God. God was very detailed and precise about sizes and measurements and materials and designs, even down to the bells and pomegranates on the hem of the priest's robe. God wanted everything built beautifully and placed precisely. Bezalel didn't try to second guess God's plan or say, "No, I think I'll do it this way because this way, my way, is better." He followed God's specifications to the letter. He knew his job was not to point out his own abilities or design work and craftsmanship, but to point the people to God and to help them worship God. Bezalel was creating a dwelling place for God that would have a special spot right in the midst of the people. You see, the tabernacle was designed as a way to give the people a glimpse of heaven. Everything in the tabernacle, from the curtains to the cups to the various pieces of furniture to the dishes and the doors and even the shovels and the censers, everything had a place and a purpose. This man-made structure was the prototype, the demo, the model of what God has prepared for us in his kingdom of love and light. Of course, there's no way to make it actually mirror the glory of God's heavenly realm. It would be too glorious for us. But the holy tabernacle came close. So that is another attribute of Bezalel we can capture for our own use, to design and build not for our glory, but for God's glory. I'm sure God also gave Bezalel the energy and the enthusiasm to stick with the job. He also had other helpers in addition to Aholiab. How did Bezalel know he had succeeded and done exactly what God wanted? When all the work was completed and everything was given to Moses, and again, according to God's plan, a marvelous thing happened. The cloud that led the Israelites by day covered the tent of meeting. Moses couldn't enter the tent because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. This was God's way of giving his stamp of approval to all the work Bezalel and his numerous assistants had done. This was God's way of saying, "Well done, you good and faithful servants." Let's be like Bezalel. Let's bring our gifts and talents to God, whatever they may be, however small or inconsequential or even unuseful we may think they are. Don't compare and don't despair. Offer the thing you do to God and ask God to show you how you can use it to honor God. If you're not sure what you can or should do, ask God to show you. Say, "God, what can I do to demonstrate my adoration and love for you? What would you have me do? How can I contribute to your kingdom?" Remember, the scripture told us God gives skills to all the skillful. And remember, it isn't about being flashy and splashy and calling attention to yourself. Like Bezalel, we need to stay focused on the reason for our creating and crafting and sewing and singing and cooking and cleaning and planting and painting and driving and directing. We are doing it for God, in the hopes that God's bright light of approval will shine in and through our work. God called Bezalel by name to do a certain job for the tabernacle. God saw something in Bezalel and Aholiab that he wanted to use, and God sees something in you too. Something maybe you can't see, but God sees it. God may even send someone to you who can point out your particular talent and encourage you to use it for God's work. Gifts are not all alike, yet God can use them all. God had seen what Bezalel could do, and God enhanced his talents with even more skill and knowledge, a divine blessing. God can do that for you too. You have a talent that can be used for God. Yes, you do. God knew Bezalel had the right heart and the right attitude for the job. Bezalel was proud to do his work for God, but he didn't call attention to himself. You see how even now we come to Exodus, we read his name and go right on looking for the good stuff. Bezalel's name means in the shadow of God, and Bezalel was showing the shadow of good God things to come, the splendor of heaven, which God is even now preparing for us all. We only see it dimly now, but one day we will see it real and clear for ourselves. So let us thank God for Bezalel and for all he has done and all he has shown us. He's taught us that even as we all have a place in God's kingdom, we all have something to do to make it real and beautiful. What is God calling you to do? Won't it be exciting to find out, and even more exciting to do it? Let us pray. God, make us wise-hearted and willing as we seek ways to use our talents to glorify you. Show us your plans and your designs for our lives. If we aren't sure, let us know what you are calling us to do. May our work be pleasing unto you so that your cloud comes upon it and gives your stamp of approval to all the things we do in your name for your glory. Amen.